Solidarity, baby. United we stand. You know what I reckon is that you have a responsibility to stand up for people who stand up for you. Even if, you know, they haven't directly been in contact with you or whatever. If they're simply standing up for something that's true, something that's just, something that's good, it is therefore a good person's responsibility to back them up, particularly when they're under attack. Otherwise, you void your fabulous little tag of I'm a good person, and instead you replace it with a big L on your forehead. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest from the Brzezinski Clinic, and unfortunately I had to rudely interrupt them previously before the break because they had a story for us, and I'd urge you to continue, mate.
All right. So as I said, I did this once on TV. I don't know how well it'll translate on radio, but let's try. So Vinny, for me, lift up your finger.
Yep.
Okay, so I also have my finger lifted, my index finger, that is. And if this finger represented colon cancer, okay, and let's say millions of your listeners lifted up their finger while we're doing this exercise, if this represented colon cancer, okay, what would be the single identifying feature that is different about all of our colon cancer? Now, don't go for the low-hanging fruit and tell me I've got short, fat fingers and or anything like that that makes it different. But what is the single identifying feature that makes all of our colon cancers unique?
Fingerprints.
Bingo. Bingo. So, Vinny, congratulations. You've walked into the future of the treatment of cancer. What we want to do is find the genetic fingerprint of each and every single one of our cancer patients. So if we have a room full of 100 colon cancer patients, it's not that, oh, they have colon cancer, stage this, metastasize there, that we're basing the treatment solely on. While that is valuable and incredible information, but that is not the whole picture here. The whole picture here involves very accurately trying to describe the fingerprint that's unique for that person, the finger, the genetic fingerprint of their cancer. Every one of our cancers, God forbid we ever get it, every one of the cancers we know of has its own genetic fingerprint or genetic signature. We want to first identify that. We do that through means of blood work. We do that through means of pathology specimen analysis, where we analyze the entire cancer's genome. Now, once we get that information, once we get that very valuable and critical information, we can then decide what drugs might be beneficial to that patient, what drugs may show no benefit to that patient. If I was to walk into a room with a gun, with the room dark, it would be what the cancer treatment right now is like. Walking into this room now, I turn on the lights and I'm much more selective of my targets.
Well, I'd probably say more like cancer today is walking into a dark room with a grenade that has no pin in it.
Exactly. That's a good analogy as well. It's a good analogy as well. So the thing is, if you don't qualify for antineoplastins, please do not become distressed, because we can still treat you right here in the Brzezinski Clinic with what's being hailed as the future of cancer treatment. That is, identifying the cancerous genome involved in that patient's cancer. And when you get those results, you can then tell that, yes, this gene is involved in this particular cancer. That means we can use this gene-targeted drug or that gene-targeted drug. And this gene is also involved, and this gene's also involved. And now you create what's called combination-targeted therapy, okay? That's the way we're approaching cancer. Now, let me take a side note here. Time Magazine, again, one of the leaders in this field of cancer research and work. He's a program director of the, Cancer Genome Atlas Project, where they're trying to do this exact thing for all cancers across the board. He says, and I quote, and I paraphrase, I should say, that in the next 10 years, every cancer patient is going to want and demand an analysis of their cancerous genome, and then a treatment will be created based on that information, matching the right patient with the right patient at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. As opposed to walking into a restaurant, not with a grenade, of course, but a improvised explosive vest that was made out of radioactive iodine cancer treatment drugs.
Exactly. So this is, I mean, it's just quite literal. Look, you don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a PhD. You don't need to be an, it's the most logical approach you can find out there. And, you know, we've had people, you know, very well revered physicians. I mean, Dr. Oz, for instance, he's quite the popular name. He's quoted as America's favorite doctor. Dr. Brzezinski was on the Dr. Oz show. Dr. Oz understood this approach completely. And his burning question was, well, why are not all doctors working in this approach in the field of oncology? It baffles even him.
Well, and the answer is very simple, because they're afraid to do it, because the system is manufacturing oncologists who are robots. They were brainwashed, and they were told, don't you dare think about out of the box. Use only the treatment which is in the scriptures and just the same treatment for everybody. Forget about anything else. Forget about innovation, because if you do, you'll be punished. You received, like in Singapore, you received 10 lashes, okay? That's a punishment, okay? And they're afraid, except for a few brave souls who like to do it, okay? And that's what is the state of art today. And you see, medical benefit is one thing, but can you imagine what happens if the government, which is paying for the treatment of cancer, will select medications properly, rather than wasting medications, knowing that medicine will work only, for instance, for 10% of patients, and they will use the same medicine for everybody. For the benefit of a pharmaceutical company, they will select the patients. They will give the medication which is good just for this 10%. Can you imagine what kind of savings the government will have and what kind of benefit they can provide for the people? This can save the medical care, which is now sinking all over the world, not only in the United States, but in Europe, in Canada, everywhere, because there's such a tremendous waste of resources to benefit big pharmaceutical companies which can make billions of dollars because every doctor was brainwashed to prescribe the same medicine for everybody, whether it's good or bad, okay?
But of course, this is
touching every aspect of medical care, not only effectiveness of treatment, but also economy of medical treatment.
Yeah. And there's so many tie-ins with all these it's kind of like medical education is sort of modular as far as I know. Like there's a whole bunch of rules, regulations, much stuff that you have to memorize, mostly in Latin. Incidentally, that was how people kept control over everybody, with the Bibles only printed in Latin until later on. But it's basically cult indoctrination, not medical education. It's competitive rather than collaborative. It is doctrine rather than creative. And I believe that anybody who sticks their head out and basically you stand a lot to lose. This is why few people do it. Few people have the true grit, as it were, to persist regardless. It's a very specified individual, kind of like Nikola Tesla was, and certain other, some might call obsessive, others might call brilliant people who create new ways of doing things, new forms of perception, new forms of how a society can even function, something that changes the very bedrock amongst the public's perception. Those people are so freaking dangerous to the establishment that it's funny. The establishment will very much put itself openly in the position of the bad guy before the public, openly, with no shame whatsoever. And in my opinion, the best way to expose a fascist is to make them act like it.
That's right. So, you know, that's the approach here. So what you might not pick up on that film, because that film is dedicated to Dr. Brzezinski's discovery and his fight to keep that discovery, is that if you don't qualify for this clinical trial of antineoplastin, you would roll right over to our personalized targeted therapy program. Step one, identification of the different genes that might be causing your cancer. Step two, figuring out what gene-targeted drugs might be appropriate. And step three, using them in a very unique and selective combination in order to provide a synergistic effect. Now, that third step that I described, the combination of these gene-targeted drugs. Mind you, this stuff is all FDA approved, by the way, for the record. These drugs we're using are not, you know, voodoo drugs that are still being tested. No, these are FDA approved drugs that are being pushed out by Johnson & Johnson, all the big guys. And they're on the market today. And it's this new world called targeted therapy drugs. Okay. And so that third part that I mentioned, that using them in a combination is what seems to be getting us in hot water today. This idea of combining these therapies, combining these drugs, because you have to understand. So Johnson & Johnson will spend what's right now about $1.9 billion to get a drug approved. They'll spend that much money and they'll want the label on that drug to say, let's say, breast cancer. So now you know that this drug is approved as a targeted therapy for treating breast cancer. Now, Dr. Brzezinski and the medical team here, they might provide this in combination with a patient who has prostate cancer. You might scratch your head and wonder why. Well, we're not so concerned about the label in the sense of what it was approved for. We might find it very important to know the mechanism of that drug. The mechanism of that drug matches the mechanism involved in that prostate cancer patient. The mechanism involved matches that patient, regardless of the fact that it was approved for breast cancer. It matches. It matches. So if you, God forbid, had prostate cancer, would you, if I could show you that there's a match in terms of mechanism, that your cancer is being made possible by this particular gene pathway, and then I say, here's a drug that blocks that gene pathway, would you say, I want that drug?
Probably.
If I said the drug has the approval of breast cancer on the label, but I can show you that it blocks that pathway, would you still want that drug regardless?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That's the nuts and bolts of it. And that's what's gotten Dr. B in hot water right now. So let's just say they're successful. They being the Texas Medical Boards. They are successful in stopping Dr. Brzezinski and his approach of combining targeted therapies, some in the context of off-label use, for advanced cancer patients. You're an advanced cancer patient, okay? You have failed conventional therapy. You meet Dr. Brzezinski because he's providing you hope because he's thinking outside the box. He's not just following the labels. Believe me, his life, our life here at the clinic would be so much easier if we just followed all the rules, followed all the labels, okay? So he's going outside of the box. He's going outside the grain because this way there's hope for that patient who's late stage, who everything has failed them, can survive. That is, again, what's gotten him in trouble. So he's now facing the medical board. He's taking them on in a case in January of next year for that very reason. If they should win, I want everyone to understand the impact this will make for all doctors. If you dare to consider thinking outside the box, which is what he's being under the light for, you will be punished. You will be punished, and we will get you. And now we have set the precedence in this. We have set the precedence that if you use combination therapy for late advanced stage cancer where everything else has failed, it doesn't matter. You still go with that, we're going to get you. So that's the big importance of this. So we would love to have everybody who's listening, who also finds this to be outrageous, to join us in an effort. We're doing a call for action. And if you sign up at our website, BrzezinskiClinic.com or CancerMed.com, send us your email, submit your email. Once we have our concise call to action letter put together where we can tell you what you need to do to contact the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, to contact select members high up in the Texas Medical Board, and getting...
No, wait. Rick Perry? I hate Rick Perry.
Yeah, and what we will do is put everyone, you know, we got all these people. They all want to help. They all want to help. Well, we need to put this grassroots movement together, hundreds of thousands, if not even into the millions of letters bombarding these people saying, look, we're watching. We find this to be outrageous. You know it's outrageous. And we're going to we are aware of what's going on. We're not going to wait until years later someone puts this in a documentary again. We know what's happening, and we're going to stop you right here, right now. You want re-election powers? Well, listen to us right now, because we are the ones putting the elections on, right? So we're putting together this call to action. If everyone can just please sign up at the BrzezinskiClinic.com website, submit your email, and once this thing is completed, our legal counsel is putting this, helping us put it together. A lot of key members are helping put this together. When we have it completed and precise, we're going to launch it. And that's how you can help. And also, we're also putting together a call to action for the FDA. Now, what does this mean? What we want is the FDA, based on such an overwhelming body of evidence with these brain tumors, we want them to grant Dr. Brzezinski what's called an accelerated review. We're not being overly eager here and saying give him an approval. No, just give him an accelerated review based on that significant body of evidence of all these patients he's treated and the wonderful success he's had. He deserves an accelerated review because the patients deserve to have access to this treatment.
And we'll be right back after the break. This is TheEastwoodShow.com. Down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, the deadly serious lighter side of genocide, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in, especially those of you, including my mad fans who just for some reason always turn up to the chat room and turn it into some massive, calcified complex of cancerous conversation, as is the radio show in itself. So I'm glad to see they're following me by example. Speaking of cancerous causations, my very special guests from the Brzezinski Clinic. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Now, is there anybody who hasn't had a say yet in here who wants to talk about their little stories, me, Deborah or Renee, perhaps.
Vinny, I would like to tell your audience to follow us on Facebook. They can access it on the web at www.facebook.com/ Stanislaus Brzezinski, just like his name. And we put the doctor posts every day on that, and we keep you up to date with things that are going on and all the things that we've discussed here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually quite glad that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency decided to start Facebook. You know, it's become quite a useful tool.
Yes. Social media.
Who would have thunk?
Mm-hmm. For the revolution. Oh, yeah, who would have thunk? The CIA, that's who. But anyway... that's the kind of double-edged sword, because apparently the internet was created as part of this global tracking idea that you could spy on everybody and everything that they do. But as a result, it's backfired, because the internet has been used to inform people that that it's being spied on and everything they do is being watched. Oh, man. That's what I love about the internet. It's a double-edged sword, and I'm all in favor of using the weapons of the enemy against them. However, you shouldn't compromise your integrity. For example, you haven't accused the FDA of anything they're not guilty of or anything like that. You're kind of doing what I call mimetics, is when you give power to the positive thing that you're trying to make happen rather than paying all your attention to criticizing and trying to take out your enemies, which will just, even if you did win, you'd wind up manufacturing some other enemy anyway.
Right, right. We're just basing it on facts, okay? Facts and figures. We're trying our best to keep our personal emotions out of it, even though that's a little difficult and taxing at times. But we're just trying to base it on sheer logic and bodies of evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that resonates with a lot of the mainstream media, or a lot of the public for that matter. But don't be disheartened, ladies and gentlemen. Bear in mind that all of the most effective things that have been done through history, movements and big changes and whatnot, were not done necessarily by mass movements, but were orchestrated by very small groups of dedicated individuals. All right, so when a lot of people talk about the ignorance or the apathy out there, and how people don't care and they're drinking their aspartame and they're getting their vaccines and they're fighting over Maccas, they're watching Magilla Gorilla and Snagglepuss fighting over a Happy Meal, it's just beyond a joke at this point, right? General public has been dumbed down by design. The entire environment that we've been put into is now this total toxic contamination of sexual innuendo. In New Zealand, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when kids come home from school, there are music videos with frickin' strippers in them. But that's shocking to me. You tell that to somebody and elsewhere in the world where their society's been degraded and become far more debauched than that, you know, they go, hey, that's nothing, man. We have hardcore pornography at 4 o'clock. In fact, the kids show where they show them how to make things out of glitter and glue and plastic and paper mache and stuff, does it naked.
Well, Vinny, I doubt there are these in your audience, but in case there are, let me state this. I have a lot of friends that say to me, when they find out where I work and what I'm passionate about, that, listen, if this guy really had something, wouldn't they embrace him? Wouldn't they support him? I mean, look, don't pull me in with all this conspiracy talk. Don't pull me in with all this they're keeping down the cure and hiding the truth stuff. Let's just be real. There's no way on God's green earth that something promising could be so squelched. How do you explain why is he getting the harassment he is? And let me share with you a story, okay? Once upon a time, this is true. Once upon a time, there was a gentleman who made a suggestion within his peer group in the medical establishment. He made a suggestion of a way that we can reduce death by doing a simple task. One simple task could reduce death enormously in his time. Now, his suggestion at first was laughed at. Here's a doctor who made this suggestion of a simple thing to be done that was laughed at. It was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was, you know, outcasted. The laughter then turned into anger. His peer group then became hostile to the point where they abducted him. They actually tricked him into coming to a certain area, which turned out to be an insane asylum, clubbed him, bagged him, where he later died inside that exact insane asylum. Here's a doctor. All he did was make a simple suggestion that started out of him losing his entire dignity, being laughed at, being persecuted, and then it turned into hostility and him quite literally dying inside an insane asylum. Do you know what that suggestion was, Vinny?
Washing the hands.
Bingo. You've heard this story before.
No, I'd actually never heard that story before. I just guessed.
Well, you're a good guesser, Vinny. Wow. This is the truth. This is the truth. His name is Samuel Wiesen.
Samuel Wise.
You can look him up on Wikipedia. That story's there for you. You can look him up on the internet.
Not to be mistaken for Samwise Gamgee from the Lord of the Rings pictures, New Zealand listeners. But continue.
No, quite literally, he saw that in the autopsy room when the doctors would perform autopsies and they would go right upstairs into the delivery room and start giving, helping these mothers give birth, that the same type of mortality for a special type of fever was noticed when his colleague nipped himself in the finger with a scalpel, had the same symptoms as the women upstairs. Then he started to say, hey, you know what? I think they might be transferring germs back and forth. I think it's these germs that might be leading to these deaths. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Just wash your hands. Just wash your hands. Take 10 seconds and scrub it down. That idea to just wash your hands cost him his life and his entire reputation. Okay? And there, guess what? Guess how much money is in soap?
Not a terribly large amount now because there's no real soap out there on the market. it's all cancer-causing detergents.
Let's fast forward the clock to 2011, where now you're dealing with a multi-billion-dollar, on the line of trillion-dollar industry. You have another guy who's saying, hey, guys, wash your hands. Let's be logical. Let's be a little bit logical here. Wash your damn hands. And you can imagine the type of hostility. So I tell this to all my friends. Listen, guys, if you don't believe me, if you think that this is all my opinion and I'm just masking the truth and I'm some conspiracist, this, that, and the other, look up some of these stories. There's been a lot of Stanislaw Brzezinski's out there. Unfortunately for them, they've had to lose their life, their dignity, their career paths. Dr. Brzezinski has instead put his heels down, stood his ground, and he's fighting to live another day, and he's trying to change the world as we know it.
Everybody's trying to change the world as they know it, but the problem is they don't know it at all. Have you noticed that so many people have these hopes and dreams? Obama, don't betray us! Being from New Zealand, I can do a sheep impression rather well, I think. And you know, when we talk about the medical industry, the first thing that really occurs to me is what happens when you're born. And basically, birth rates have been declining quite dramatically. Everybody's starting to get kind of sterile, more or less, from copious quantities of toxicity all over the environment. And some people say, oh, well, you know, we're not getting into quite that much cancer anymore or whatever. You know, we're way more advanced. We're living longer on average. No. If you go back to all of those old grave sites, you'll find that the only reason why you think that people live longer today is because they didn't live past five in some cases, well, in a lot more cases than there are today. And so if you average them out, yeah, it looks like everybody. But that's just a deception of statistics. People are living the same, living virtually the same length of time anyway. And I tell people that there's a 1 in 2 cancer rate in New Zealand now, and that's published by the the Ministry of Health here, which is incidentally the third leading cause of death in this country. but the problem becomes is that they say, oh, well, back in the day, we just didn't have the detecting capacity. We couldn't find all the cancer that was around there. No, it was actually just incredibly rare. You travel the length of the country to go see a child cancer patient because it was that freaking rare. Do you hold that to be true, man?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So now you found yourself in an industry that has no shortage of customers, but the problem is because you're actually doing something good for those customers rather than milking them to their death for the rest of their lives, so they're a dried up corpse with a quality of life that is a 1 on a scale of 10. They need to shut you down, because if you don't get shut down, you'll provide an example, a positive example, to others. And basically, the damage has already been done to a large extent, don't you think? Everything that they've already done to the Buzinski Clinic throughout this this whole rigmarole has already scared off, I'm sure, copious quantities of doctors who also don't want to risk all of those years at medical school, their licenses, and even their very freedom itself. How do you emotionally deal with that?
You're absolutely right. We've had a patient actually that came from a very large institute right here in Houston, and she said, you know, it's amazing. I couldn't pay the doctors there enough money to try to be the creative doctor that Dr. Brzezinski is for me here on a standard day-to-day basis. I couldn't bribe them enough to try to think outside the box for my disease. They simply said, go into clinical trials, find one that fits, or just go into hospice. Absolute no effort, no creativity. She explained to me that, Azad, listen, God forbid you never get cancer, but when you're on my end of the table, here's something you should know. All you really want when you're facing, when you're looking down the barrel of a gun, is the thought and the know-how that the person on the other end, your treating physician, is doing everything in their power to try to come up with something to save your life. That's all you want. It doesn't matter if you have 0.1% chance of survival. You'll come to grips with that, but you can never, ever appreciate that that person is just brushing you off. That person is just brushing you off. You want to know that they're treating you like a family member. They're thinking outside the box. They're not sheeping around like you're talking about. And she said, that's what the Brzezinski Clinic does. I know Dr. B would have a much easier life if he just followed the rules. But because he doesn't, he has success. And because he doesn't, he also has a lot of hell to deal with.
Yeah. I would presume you think it's worth it?
Well, no doubt about it. You see people getting better, children who's got rid of the malignancy a long time ago. Now they have their own children. They live normal life. Absolutely. The world is getting better from this respect. And I think the other doctors will join us. They are watching what we do, and the good is going to win. So I am sure that we see a very nice victory in couple of years ago.
I'm assuming that was rhetorical.
That's right. We're coming to a commercial break here. It's V for Victory on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be right back very soon. Join us in the chat room and, the final segment coming up. It's unfortunate, but all good things must come to an end. Back in a moment. Please don't desert me.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us. Our needs are now different, and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, in this life, you've only got a certain amount of time to dance, love, sing, and jump for joy. So take advantage and do what the elite do and exploit every second of it. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of madness and chaos, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're proudly brought to you by American Freedom Radio, broadcasting all over the world, as it seems to be living in a global Fourth Reich at the moment. And even in this fabulous fluoridated capital here in Auckland, New Zealand, in the slave-chained South Pacific. It is a very somber note on this final segment here, because I have to say goodbye to the fabulous crew at the Brzezinski Clinic here. And, well, quite frankly, I'm going to, again, follow my own motto and exploit this last segment for all I possibly can. So if there's any of those, what is your advice to other medical professionals? I mean, let's just take the gloves off here. Those of which who are attacking you, those of which who don't support you or are following the FDA line, what do you really have to say to them?
I hope you got a good little stash of sleeping aids.
No, I think in all honesty, don't be sheep. You have to learn about what we're doing here. Don't follow the crowd. This is the future. You have to have people that make breakthroughs, and that's what SR Brzezinski's doing here. So call the clinic. Learn more about what we're doing.
Yeah,
we invite all medical professionals here.
That's right. We invite the naysayers. You know, there's for whatever reason, there's this lovely stigma that we're not sharing. Well, that's absolutely false. Anyone and everyone who doubts us, be it professional, be it lay, I invite you personally here, and we'll show you our best case series. We'll show you what you think we're trying to hide. So there you have it. And I always said, I don't think the number one killer in America and worldwide, the number one killer worldwide, is ignorance. It's not any disease. It's ignorance.
And we invite anyone that's in Houston to come on Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 5. And we talk about this and give them a chance to ask us questions. We talk about gene targeted therapy. And we would love to invite anyone that's visiting here to please come. And I'll be happy to give them a tour of our center and just and to show them around. And we want to educate everyone.
Well, you see, there we have it. That really is the crux of the issue. I'm sorry, Deborah, did you want to say something?
No, they pretty much said it all. We do invite, if you have any questions at all or any comments or even...
Do you have a toll-free number that people could call from on the air?
Yes, we do. It's 1-800-714-8171. No, I'm sorry. 1-800-714-7181. And also, if there's any questions or comments or even words of encouragement, they're more than welcome to email us at info@brzezinskiclinic.com.
Right. So if you go to the website, plain and simple, just go to the website, brzezinskiclinic.com, cancermed.com. And everything you want to know is there. I know that in New Zealand, I don't think that you can call the 800 number, so it'll have to be a direct line. So it's international code 1-713-335-5697. Again, international code for the USA is 1-713-335-5697. The website, brzezinskiclinic.com, cancermed.com. Anything you can do to sign up for that is appreciated. The minute we have our call to action in place, we can go forward. There's a link for donations on that website. If you just say, look, I just got $50 burning a hole in my pocket to help your cause, here you go. There's a link there for you, and everything else you can be found out through there.
All right. That's pretty nice right there. And when exactly is the court date? When are you supposed to get back for your judgment? Because it's just, oh, man. I've been to court before on charges of cannabis possession, things like that. And it's not fun. Especially, and more to the point, It's so agonizingly boring and stressful at the same time. It's like the worst kind of combination. Just going to court at all is punishment enough.
That's where I met my wife, though.
Thanks, Tom. He's kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm saying
all right. Personal plug there.
Yeah, it is. It's agonizing, especially when you're listening to a bunch of lies and ridiculousness and, you know, kind of outlandish things. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you guys what. We're actually in the process of putting together a video that outlines detailed what they're putting Dr. Brzezinski in court for. And you can just listen or watch and hear how redundant some of this stuff is and how outrageous some of these claims are.
Oh, so give us a few teasers. I'm just chomping at the bit here to hear what they've been coming up with.
Well, you know, they got on one hand, they're screaming about the fact that, you know, he has his own pharmacy, Dr. Brzezinski. We have for convenience factor, we have our own pharmacy here in-house so the patients can pick up whatever drugs they need. They're always welcome to use any pharmacy they want. That's just for the convenience of the patient. So on one allegation is, well, Dr. Brzezinski didn't claim outright that he owns a pharmacy that's in his clinic, that he's the owner of this pharmacy. And on the other complaint, what is the other complaint?
Well, there are some other complaints of the nature that, for instance, we administered the treatment, which worked perfectly well. The patient was sent to hospice in with advanced cancer, and after 2 months, he was able to go back to work. And I have been accused of using the treatment which was not standard. For this patient, there was no standard treatment. She was sent to hospice to die because all standard treatments were exhausted. I used the treatment which saved this patient's life and which put her back to work. And I have been accused for using the treatment which is non-standard.
Because how very dare you?
Save somebody's life.
And this same treatment that now was published in a medical journal. So the medical community is saying this is fascinating, but then one district court is saying, well, this was maybe not appropriate. So the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing.
Yeah, it's complete miscommunication. It's just outlandish. So, again, sign up for the newsletter. We'll put this all together in a video for you, and it will just – you'll laugh. You'll actually get a good laugh out of it.
Oh, yeah. These people are seriously engaged in what I like to call legal masturbation. And as you rightly pointed out, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they call that the stranger in some circles. but you know, I'm sorry to have kept you here for a good two hours, guys. I hope you've very much improved it, and I don't know. Hopefully the audience will respond in lavish, lush detail and whatnot. Once again, the toll free number for the Brzezinski Clinic, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-800-714-7181. That's 1-800-714-7181. If you're calling from outside the United States, the international calling code is 1, and the number is 713-33-55-69-7. That's international code 1-713-335-5697. Or you can email them info@BrzezinskiClinic.com. And thank you very much, guys, for joining us all, and immensely enjoyable for your time, because you originally were only going to give us 40 minutes and wind up getting the whole 2 hours. I'm pretty sure that you just enjoyed yourself so much you couldn't steer away.
You're addictive, Vinny. What can we say? You're addictive.
It was delightful. Thanks.
Thank you. We love you. Yes, we do.
Yeah, yeah. People call me addictive all the time. Yeah, well, okay, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be able to check out the archives at the Vinny Eastwood Show .com. Please support the broadcast if you can by subscribing. $5 a week is very much appreciated and goes into the running costs of the show so we can continue to bring you all of those voices from around the world that you often will get suppressed out of the media. Those stories that will really teach you something about the world and make you question your very own reality, and in many cases will literally save your life, considering that ignorance is the world's biggest killer. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a heck of a lot of killers out there. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you very much to everybody from the Baczynski Clinic. You guys rock on, and I hope you get the support you need. I've done my part, and it's up to everybody else from here on out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.